This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
1-800-636-1067, the number right here on the right here on Overtime on 106.7 The Fan. We're always live and free on the Odyssey app as well. Youngest of Charles Leno Willigham taking you up to 10 o'clock. We were just celebrating our pal Alex Ovechkin, just three goals shy of breaking Wayne Gretzky's all-time goal-scoring record. It got me thinking, what are some of the most unbreakable sports records? I know Nolan Ryan and the 5,714 career strikeouts, definitely something that's there. I think one that's kind of slept on, Tom Brady. When you look at his career stats, 102,614 career passing yards, 737 career touchdown passes, oldest quarterback to win a Super Bowl at 43 years, 6 months, and 4 days. Is that record ever going to be broken? Talking about the total yards, I look at Emmitt Smith and the rushing record. I think Chris brought up a good point earlier. I think just the way that NFL offenses function nowadays, it's going to be very hard for that record to be broken. I think it stands the test of time. Jerry Rice in the career receiving yards, damn near 23,000 receiving yards for the career. Next closest in terms of active guys right now is DeAndre Hopkins. He's creeping up on 13,000 career yards. He'll accomplish that this year in all likelihood in Baltimore, maybe in week one, as he's got 12,965 yards. It's interesting, though, man. Like, greatness in sports, I feel like we don't like to – I don't know. I don't want to say we don't like to see it, but, like, it feels like when we talk about feats of greatness in the world of sports, like, we hold guys to such a high standard. And I think that's fair to do so. But, man, some of these records – and I want to hear from any hockey fan out there right now, 1-800-636-1067. If you followed pro hockey throughout the 2000s, you followed the NHL throughout the 2000s, and you watched Gretzky accomplish this feat that Ovechkin is trying to take down, did you ever think it would be possible? Did you ever think somebody would get this close to breaking said record? Benji is in Alexandria and wants to chime in. What's going on, Benji?
Hey, what's up, guys? So, first of all, when Ovi breaks this record, it will not be broken again. But the next record I want to bring to y'all's attention, I don't know how many of you guys in your audience is tracking it, the golf record of Jack Nicklaus is 18 majors.
Yeah.
So Tiger right now is at 15. Let me put this into perspective for you.
Uh-huh.
Rory McIlroy, one of the greatest golfers of our generation, he's at 4.
Damn. Yeah.
He's at 4. So I think once Ovi breaks
Phil
it,
have?
That won't be... Sorry?
How many does Phil have?
I don't know how many Phil has. He's got at least two green jackets. He's got two Masters. I think he's got a British Open. He doesn't have a U.S. Open yet. I think he's less than six.
That's a good one to bring up, Benji. That's a great one to bring up.
He's got six.
So Phil Mickelson's got six.
Damn. Yeah, three Masters, two PGAs.
And Benji, just the thing. Benji, I was dunking on Tiger Woods the other day. I don't know if you saw his April Fool's tweet.
I did. It scared the hell out of me. I'm not going to lie. I mean, I was excited, and I got pissed. I was like,
away. A ball of emotions for sure, man. I was having this conversation last summer, man, with Tiger, now that we're talking golf here for a second, and I want to get your perspective on this, Benji. Should we allow, or is it fair to allow some of the off-the-course stuff that happened with Tiger Woods, is it fair to allow that to color our judgment of him as a golfer?
I think that's a good question. For me, it doesn't. I think this guy has been in the spotlight since he was 4 years old.
Yeah.
He had an incredibly difficult youth. I think you can almost
blame his childhood. You almost blame his childhood on how the hell he's been acting.
You can. I mean, the pressure that he's been under, and golf is another level of pressure, to be honest. You're playing for yourself. You're not playing for a team. You're put under extraordinary amounts of pressure. I mean, the guy snapped. I don't want to excuse anything that he did, but I think Tiger's one of the greatest athletes of all time. I'm just going to say that.
100%. I agree with you wholeheartedly, Benji. I appreciate you chiming in with us as always, my brother. Enjoy. 1-800-636-1067. Chris in Damascus. What's going on, Chris?
Hey, brother. I guess Chris, Metal Chris there, alerted you to Nolan Ryan. Yeah, that strikeout record, I don't see it happen, and I'm a big baseball dude, but since you got that one, how about the UCLA Bruins basketball men's streak of wins? And here's one for you, and this is an all-timer. Uh-huh. Edwin Moses didn't lose a race in 10 years.
Wow.
In the 400-meter hurdles. Edwin Moses, not Olympics, not 10 years, Edwin Moses.
You mentioned the UCLA, is that a men's basketball record? Because I know the UCon women's
team. I don't think the
UCon women's went on a 111 game streak.
Did they really?
Yes.
Without losing, and UCLA is the men's.
I wasn't familiar with the UCLA men's.
That's in the 70s. That's Bill Walton, and there was back to back with Kareem, and then Bill Walton, and they never lost, and finally Notre Dame broke that one.
Wow.
But Edwin Moses didn't lose one for 10 years.
That's crazy.
In all of the world races that, including Olympics, and I know I was going to say Cy Young in baseball, 512 wins, but they could change the rules of how you do a win. But anyway. Appreciate it, and you guys have
yes,
fun.
Indeed.
Appreciate you being live and local.
Yes, indeedy, brother. I appreciate you chiming in with us, man. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. Talking some of the greatest records in the world of sport. What were you going
to
say, Chris?
I just want to say that UCLA, want to clear that up. It was 7 consecutive championships in the UCLA from, what was it?
So they won the NCAA tournament.
From 67 to 73. Before they had 64-team brackets, but they still won the tournament. That's 7 years straight.
That's incredible. That's incredible, man. The other one that I don't think we talk about is Steph Curry and being the first player to knock down 4,000 career three-pointers. I don't know if that ever, gets knocked down. I mean, he's in a league of his own when you think about it. 1-800-636-1067. When we come back, we'll continue to look at some of the most unbreakable records in the world of sports. Plus, the city of Baltimore, not happy with a couple of different sports books. Give you the deets on that next.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more. And get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Out of 10, about 90 seconds left to go in regulation, but silver lining, I mentioned at the top of the show, a historic season for the young Washington Wizards, the trio of Bub Carrington, Alex Saar, and Keyshawn George, the first trio of rookies in NBA history to make 100 threes apiece. Bub Carrington, wow. Do you see the stat line for Paolo Banchero? 33 points, 18 rebounds, 8 assists for Paolo Banchero. Holy cannoli. Having a night. But the Wizards trio, first trio of rookies ever to make 100 threes each in a season. Bub Carrington continuing the hot shooting. He's having a career night. 11 to 17 from the field. And then check this out. 6 of 9 from the three-point line. 9 rebounds, 7 assists, just 1 turnover. He's got 29 points as the Wizards going to fall at home to the Orlando Magic. Kudos to the fellas, man. I can't wait to the exit meetings and the locker clean-out. I got a big old attaboy to give Bub Carrington as well as Brian Keefe, someone who I was super critical of here in Washington. Bub Carrington just knocked down his 7th three-pointer of the night. 32 points for old Carlton Bub Carrington. Attaboy. I mentioned I wanted to get to this Baltimore story. The city of Baltimore is suing DraftKings and Flutter Entertainment, the parent company of FanDuel, accusing the sportsbooks of engaging in deceptive and unfair practices to target and exploit vulnerable gamblers. This was filed in a Baltimore City court that alleged the companies used misleading promotions to attract bettors and then leverage data and analytics to keep problem gamblers betting. The practices say that they're in violation of the city's consumer protection ordinance. And this is a quote from Baltimore Mayor Brandon Scott in a news release. These companies are engaging in... I can't even read it with a straight face. What the hell are they talking about?
Well, I wonder if they're talking about how they have those, like, proposed bets, you know,
they're like the boosts. No one's putting a gun to your head and making you bet.
But if they're like, hey, here's a suggested bet or whatever, and they're saying they know that these guys are going to bet on these. So that's my guess. I don't know. I'm not a lawyer. I don't know.
I can't believe this. Let me try to read. the Brandon Scott quote. I'm laughing, Chris, because I don't know if you've seen any of Mayor Scott's press conferences throughout the city. He is Baltimore through and through, has the super thick accent and all that. I'm reading the quote in his voice is why I can't get through it, man. These companies are engaging in shady practices, and the people of our city are literally paying them. Oh, my gosh. I can't believe it. I mean, how stupid do you sound as a city? Suing a sports book because your people can't hit bets? If you knew better, you do better. Point blank, period, man. It's not like someone's putting a gun to your head, making you bet. I don't care if FanDuel or DraftKings is offering you a no-sweat bet. Keep your money in your damn pockets, Baltimoreans. Good God almighty. Odyssey NFL insider Jason Lockenfora going to join us on the other side of the break. We'll get his thoughts on the NFL offseason and what he learned out at the Breakers at the owners' meetings. That's next here on 106.7 The Fan. We'll keep our conversation rolling on the National Football League as we go out to the guest hotline. For the first time this show, we're joined by Odyssey NFL insider Jason Lockenfora, host of the Odyssey original podcast, In the Huddle. Make sure you check out In the Huddle on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. Jason, a happy offseason, my friend. How are you?
Yeah, happy offseason. I guess that's what this is. Is that what this is? But always good to chat with you, brother.
Yes, indeed. I appreciate you making some time for us here this evening. I want to hop right into it. The biggest thing that was on my radar this afternoon when I was putting the show together is obviously the league meetings going on down in Florida, and the big thing that was talked about today was the tush push. Those conversations actually going to be tabled until May. What was your reaction when you found out that the NFL was not going to vote on the tush push today or yesterday?
I wasn't sure that they had enough support, honestly, for this to pass. Everyone just talks about the Eagles, but, you know, there were probably, I think, of at least four or five other teams that employed it to some degree this year. And then you've had a lot of coaching changes, and some of those new coaches might want to employ it. So to get two-thirds of these owners, and it's ultimately the owners, to agree to it, you know, that's not always easy. And it's something that they've kind of let fester and become part of these broadcasts and part of the product, and like, it's part of the narrative now. And, you know, things are going pretty good for the league, and some of these guys don't want to rock the boat. And the idea that this is really about health and safety, whatever. So now, do I think Goodell wants it out? I think he does. But he doesn't have the votes. Okay. Yeah, I think if he had his druthers, he's old school. I mean, this was considered taboo for a long time, and I don't know exactly when it changed. But, you know, as a youngster watching football, anytime somebody would run up behind somebody else and try to drag them or push them ahead and, you know, advance the ball that way, it would be flagged. So yeah. I do think he probably wouldn't mind getting rid of it and hiding, you know, and using health and safety as the reason for it. But there weren't enough votes. So rather than kill it, you know, and have it lose momentum and go away, he wants it tabled so they have further discussion. So, you know, this is all politicking and horse trading, and you do this for me, I do that for you. I really, really want this one. I'll take care of you down the line. You won't have to go play that game in Europe next year or whatever. So I would say stay tuned, because it's clear that there's some of the powers that be at the league office still want this to go away. Otherwise, it would have just been shut down for good, for another year.
Yeah, it's going to be fascinating to see how this plays out. Something that did pass was the NFL and their Sony Hawkeye technology going to be used to electronically measure first downs this year. As a Commander fan, Jason, I mean, we got completely screwed against the Steelers. Zach Ertz clearly gets the first down, and they don't get it. How do they actually implore this, and do you think it's something that will make the league better here, or will it cause more arguments?
They've been studying this forever. I've been writing about this forever, and people in the league office who I know who are intimately involved in this have been trying to make this happen forever. And I mean, I'm talking over a decade. Like,
wow. So the technology's been out there.
Well, they've been trying to apply the right technology and advance it to a point where they were comfortable enough with it. But the idea that cameras and lasers and if the owners are willing to invest, and that's the other part that they don't want to talk about. I mean, could it have been here sooner if they gave bigger budgets for research and development and IT? And, you know, if they all threw in another couple $100,000, could it have happened years ago? Oh, I think it absolutely could have. But at the rate at which they were funding it and at the rate they were willing to invest in it, it was a little bit more of a snail's pace. But there have been enough instances now where it's just ridiculous that we're still eyeballing this. And look, other sports have continued to innovate. And we can watch a baseball game and see down to, you know what I mean, a microfiber of the ball, whether it was in the zone or not. And we've seen it in tennis forever. And they've been saying, well, it's a collision sport and there's bodies on top of bodies and that makes it hard. And I get all that. But between putting the microchips in the ball and microchips all over the field and microchips on all the yard markers, yeah, we could have been here sooner, but I'm glad that we're here. There may be some kinks to work out, but you started to hear a lot of buzz about this heading into last year's preseason, and it's something that, again, frankly, should have happened years ago.
Yeah, I agree. It's going to be interesting to see what type of hoopla comes as a result of it. I think we could all agree, right, the technology is good. But there's going to be an instance, like you said, where a certain kink isn't properly worked out, and there's going to be some sort of technological gaffe, and we'll see how the NFL chooses to respond to that. I love this owners meeting stuff, Jason, because we get the, you know, tea gets spilt, coaches are talking,
yeah,
owners are talking. I love any time Jerry Jones gets a microphone put in front of him, because it's starting.
Oh, yeah.
In this business, man, I'm learning that he is the best sort of content, man. He was on one, is how I would put it. Talking earlier yesterday at these meetings, and the one thing that came out of it, he, you know, spilling the beans that, yeah, I talked to Micah Parsons for about 5 to 6 hours, and we want to keep those conversations between me and Micah because I'm the one signing the check, or I'm the one giving out the check. He's the one signing it. Your thoughts on those comments, and do you think the agent, David Mulugeta, should be rubbed the wrong way by this?
Of course, and he's been doing this forever. I mean, this has been something that, again, I can go back to my days as covering, you know, the Arskins at the time for the Washington Post and doing reporting on other teams and starting to, you know, going to combines and stuff. And it's clear that, like, Jerry, and I bring it up because Dan Snyder kind of learned from him. And those guys were closer than I think people knew. And it's like you build up these personal relationships with them, and then you do 90% of the deal with the player, and then by the time the agent finds out about it, the player's already sold on it. So,
right,
you know, it's hard to convince him that, A, what he's doing isn't really in your best interest, and B, I could do better for you. So it's been a problem there forever, and it's something agents have been complaining about forever. I mean, going back to when guys like, you know, T.O. were there. It's old school, and it's frowned upon, and frankly, it violates a lot of the tenets of sort of labor law and the whole point of having a representative.
Could this sour the relationship, you think, at all between Micah and the agent, or do you see this kind of not getting
No, because I think ultimately Jerry's going to have to do it. Jerry doesn't have that many stars anymore.
He's
in the star culture. Like, he wants to sell jerseys. Like, you can't let this guy go, so he'll end up giving him what he wants in the end, like he did for Dak. That's why his quarterback's making $60 million a year. I think money, you know.
Money talks.
Yeah. Go look at Myles Garrett. Money talks.
Don't remind me.
He wanted out till he didn't. So, no, I think it'll get done, and I think there's a big part of Micah that likes being a Cowboy and likes being in prime time and likes being in the MVP conversation, defensive MVP conversation every year, because in part – he's on prime time all the time, and people are talking about the Cowboys, whether they're good, bad, or just pedestrian. So, I think it's a perfectly well-arranged marriage, and I think it'll get done in the end. But this is not anything new for Jerry Jones. It's the kind of thing he's been doing for decades.
Yeah.
And the player will probably win in the end anyway.
Yeah, knowing how the non-quarterback guarantees are looking right now, Mike is in a tremendous spot. knowing what you know and from talking to people nationally, what is the perception of the Cowboys as we get geared up for the NFL draft now less than a month away? Because they got the pass rusher, obviously, in Micah Parsons. Their defense could use some improvement, and they can use a wide receiver opposite of CeeDee Lamb. With a healthy Dak Prescott, Do folks view the Cowboys as a legitimate team in the NFC?
No.
No,
they're a money-making operation that wins, you know, enough football games to remain a viable money-making operation. But, I mean, look, Stephen Jones coming out yesterday and talking about we still have a chance to really do things in free agency. I mean, they're in a fantasy land. They just want to gaslight people. Like, they have no shame. They're willing to say whatever they think they have to say to get to the next microphone, to get to the next, you know, preseason game, to get to the next game, and just keep, just keep filling the coffers. Like it's not a good roster. It hasn't been a good roster in years. They haven't drafted nearly as well. He's been reticent to spend. I think it's fair to say Jerry Jones, the GM, is in steep, steep decline. Not that he was ever particularly great at it. And whatever checks and balances used to be there are out the window. And the older he gets, the more stuck in his ways he gets. And there's not a real path to them being a viable contender. They're not great offensively. They're not great defensively. They've eroded horrifically at the point of attack on both sides of the ball. And I don't think Jerry's all that interested in drafting those guys. Like, I think they'll probably draft a receiver. Like, I think he had a lot of fun when they were drafting all those receivers. And I think with a $60 million quarterback, he wants to see the ball thrown all over the place in points. And he'd rather lose 47-45 than 10-9. I don't think anybody takes them seriously as a football, as a football operation.
Yeah, it's going to be – they're one of my favorite teams to watch each and every year because, obviously, we spend a ton of time talking about them. I actually happen to think, you know, Dak is maybe a better quarterback than people give him credit for, but we have this conversation all the time, Jason. I don't get where the league has gone to where everyone's got to be a $60 million quarterback, a $55 million quarterback. Understand the market is the market. But at some point, you've got to look at these guys and go, well, are you going to be someone – that can elevate guys around you? Because when your quarterback's having that type of, you know, salary cap hitting, eating up that percentage of the cap, you don't have the resources to spend elsewhere. And if you don't draft well, you kind of end up stuck in the middle with a mediocre quarterback. And it seems like that's where Dallas is headed.
I mean, he's a very good quarterback. He has not proven to be transcendent or one who is consistently year to year over year lifted others around him. And, like, I mean, the money part of it, these guys are never satisfied financially. So, like, you can say this guy's not worth this and this guy's not worth that, but they want to expand, right? They're opting out of the TV deals. Right. They're going to add regular season games. They're going to take away more preseason games. They might even add more layers to the playoffs. Like, they're playing more and more games overseas. Like, so they are obsessed with growing the pie. So if you're going to keep growing the pie, then the cap's going to keep going up exponentially. And the most important player on the field is going to continue to have a lot of that funneled his way. Like it's sort of the way their socialized economic system trickles down. And so, I mean, I don't necessarily have a problem with it.
Is there going to be a team, Jason, that you think comes out and goes, you know what? I understand what the market dictates, but we're just not comfortable paying the piper, so to speak.
I mean, I think it probably will happen in some cases, but like they lowball Brock Purdy to start with. Yeah. We'll see where that goes. I mean, I think they set themselves up by starting so low to try to avoid having to get where most people think they'll have to get. So we'll see. But, like, C.J. Stroud's going to do really, really well.
Yeah.
And then Jaden Daniels is going to do even better than that after that. And Lamar will have gotten another new deal by that time. And by the time Jaden's done, I would think Mahomes has probably at least readjusted some things again. So
it's going up.
That's just, you know, I mean, that's,
people get paid.
That's just the way it goes. And you know what? These billionaires, they can handle it.
Yeah. Joined right now by Odyssey NFL insider Jason Lockenfor, host of the Odyssey Original Podcast, In the Huddle. Make sure you check out In the Huddle on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. Speaking of quarterbacks, the Cleveland Browns and their ownership coming out and taking responsibility for the Deshaun Watson deal. Do you give any kudos to Jimmy Haslam for coming out and saying, hey, it's on me?
What are you going to say? I mean, you're going to try to blame his football people? I mean, everybody knows.
Good for Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, I would say, those statements, because they have they're not the problem there.
Yeah, and they know how that everything went down there, and most of the league knows how that went down. And it was driven by the owner, and he wouldn't take no for an answer, and he instructed his football people that I don't care what any of these psychologists might say, and I don't care what our internal investigation might say. Don't let this guy go to Atlanta. I'll do whatever you have to do. I'm willing to do whatever I have to do to convince him to come to Cleveland. And that's how it went down. And, him acknowledging it 3 years later at its nadir when the guy tore his, Achilles again and was god-awful when he played. I mean, he's been outplayed by Joe Flacco and Jameis Winston making the vet minimum two straight years. Mm. Like, I mean, that's just a fact. The offense was more vibrant. The huddle was more alive. The playmakers made way more plays with those two at quarterback than they ever did with the other guy. I mean, I think they barely averaged one offensive touchdown a game for the entirety of Deshaun Watson's starts with them. So,
tough to watch.
I mean, good luck getting yourself out of it, though. The problem is, in those 3 years that you made this ridiculous move for that guy, you could have at least thrown a horrible poison pill at the Ravens to try to get Lamar Jackson when he was available on a non-exclusive franchise tag. You took yourself away from some generational quarterback drafts. You took yourself out of the running for even just, renting a guy like Cousins for a few years. Like, just think of all the quarterback movement in this league the last 3 years where people have greatly altered their plight or gone from a plight to a plateau, like what's happening right there with you in Washington. And this guy has sat all that out because he made one of the most boneheaded decisions in the history of professional sports. Not even just the trade, which was ridiculous on the
contract,
but the contract. So... Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's cost them exponentially. And if you'll recall, 2 years ago, they did have one of the best defenses in the NFL and one that you literally almost couldn't score on when they were at home. And imagine if they had even league average quarterback play that year, what they might have been able to do. You saw how they took off, with Flacco in the final six or so games of the regular season. So, yeah, you don't get those years back. And guess what? This quarterback draft ain't as good, and I'm not hearing much about next year's. If Arch comes out, it's pretty good. Okay.
Yeah.
If he doesn't, oof. And next year's free agent class of quarterbacks is not going to be very good either. So
Where's the pivot here for Cleveland? Because I keep hearing the rumors about Atlanta relinquishing Cousins. Do you think it is Shador getting that rookie quarterback on a rookie contract?
I mean, I would not rule it out by any stretch of the imagination. And, Cousins is eventually going to get out of Atlanta. Atlanta is doing some buffoonery right now about what they're asking teams to pay this guy. I mean, you just had Russell Wilson sign for peanuts. Whatever Aaron Rodgers gets is going to be peanuts compared to what he used to make. Like, Sam Darnold got less than a lot of – he would have thought, and a lot of people thought he's going to – that tier of quarterback – has not made out that well.
Yeah.
So the idea that somebody's going to make a football trade and pay $25 million a Kirk Cousins salary, it's not going to happen. You're going to have to subsidize that deal. And at some point, I think that they will, but the owner, Arthur Blank, is not there yet.
And keeping things in the North for a second as we wrap things up here, I was taken aback by Mike Tomlin. And I think he meant it, saying that, we'd be comfortable going into the season with Mason Rudolph as our guy. I know they're doing the song and dance with Rodgers. How do you see that playing out? And then is Pittsburgh's roster really a quarterback away here?
Well, I would say I'd rather have Mason Rudolph or pray for Kirk Cousins than I would,
than Rodgers.
You know, have Aaron Rodgers. I just would want nothing to do with that circus.
I'm on an island by myself with the Rodgers thing, Jason.
Not by yourself because Mike Tomlin's obviously okay with it because they're willing to wait for this guy. And they're letting him kind of string everybody out, deciding if he wants to play for what the new reality, you know, economically for him will be, or if he, you know, if he just wants to, you know, keep walking the beaches until, you know, he eventually makes up his mind.
He's an interesting fellow.
Mike Tomlin's dealt with a lot of people now. I mean, Mike Tomlin has dealt with some locker rooms filled with absolute chowder heads. So he's not scared of the challenge, and I'm sure he thinks that his culture can mold or break anybody, even a 40-something-year-old buffoon, you know, who clearly is struggling with his football mortality. It would be a non-starter for me, but it clearly is anything but that for them. And he doesn't have any other option.
For you,
he doesn't want to go to the Giants. And the Vikings, I mean, he could wait for the Vikings and wait and wait and wait.
Well, that to me was the dream destination. And we can wrap up on that because I do want to ask you about the Vikes real quick. I continue to believe if they would have landed Aaron Rodgers, I would have viewed Minnesota with the additions they made defensively. You get Darisaw back healthy. You add Freeze. You add Ryan Kelly. I would have looked at them as the biggest threat to Philadelphia in the NFC because I know Kevin O'Connell could have got good quarterback play out of Rodgers. Where do they go from here? Because I think it's a massive risk to look your veterans in the eye after a 15-win season, a 14-win season, and go, yeah, we're going to try to run it back with this guy who's proven nothing.
It's not like they took him in the fifth round.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
He's got to play.
Yeah. At some point, the clock's got to start. Yeah.
And Kevin O'Connell is, look what he just did with Sam Darnold. I mean, who was looking at Sam Darnold that way 6 months ago or whatever, 8 months ago? So I think you have to trust that your process that led you to him and put him in O'Connell's hands, that with all those creature comforts around him, including, like you said, the left tackle coming back and we know the weapons they have offensively at receiver and tight end. And yeah, I think you have to roll with that kid. I mean, Bo Nix took the team to the playoffs last year. You know, sure. Penix might have, if they had made that change sooner, they could have won that division. And then obviously we saw what Jaden Daniels did. I don't know about Aaron Rodgers around that kid. I wouldn't want him around that kid. Like, I don't.
So with you, with Rodgers, is it more of the personality or the football?
Both.
Both. Double, it's a cocktail of things.
and I mean, I don't think he would not get
my silence was deafening. I would say for sure, Jason.
Yeah, no thanks.
No, I got you. Look, I appreciate you making some time.
Always my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
One of the absolute best, talking all things National Football League, our pal Jason Lockenfora, host of the Odyssey original podcast, In the Huddle. Make sure you check out In the Huddle on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. That's going to do it here for this Thursday night edition of Overtime. If you want to keep the conversation going with me on social media, it's very simple. It is at @NELL_BTP. Back with you Saturday afternoon, noon Eastern time, right here on The Fan.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
StreetEasy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
So, I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Almased, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Almased has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Almased with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's A-L-M-A-S-E-D.com.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.